Our passage this morning comes to us from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. The Almighty, the Word of Almighty God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. This is the reading of God's word. You may be seated. In Paul's letter here to the Philippians, or to the church in Ephesus, you'll no doubt see correspondence to the other letters that Paul writes, especially to the church in Philippi that we just finished. But in this letter before us, Paul sets before the Ephesians, the Ephesus church, he sets before them this great mystery of the eternal purpose of God, realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access to God with confidence through our faith in Jesus Christ. The mystery of the gospel, or as Paul writes in chapter 3, verse 6 of this very letter, the mystery that the Gentiles are now fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Specifically, that even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That God has done far above all heavens, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age but in the age to come. God has done this, that what He has done for us through Christ would be made known through the church to all. From the lowest depths of the earth to the highest heights of the heavens. In every place in the heavenlies. Until every member of His church attains to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ Himself. We may no longer be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by every human craftiness, or every scheme and deceit of the devil. And I hope you know that being made alive together with Christ, transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, becoming bright yourself as a light in the midst of darkness, pitch black darkness. I hope you understand. I hope you know that tends to attract attention. When the Son of God descends from far above all heavenly places into the lower regions of the earth and claims you for Himself, you are mine, and ascends back up far above all the heavens, declaring you as his own to all the rulers, all the authorities in the heavenly places, it ought and it does attract attention. A lot of attention. Both here on earth and in the heavenly places, and not just the kind of attention that is good. But that of the rulers, of the authorities, and the cosmic forces of darkness, and the evil spirits of wickedness in the heavenly places, with which we have been brought into conflict because of what God has done through Christ for us. Declaring us his own and seating us with him high above all heavenly places. Like Job, you see, we have in a very real and similar way been brought by God into an intense struggle with such evil spiritual rulers, authorities, and powers and dominions in the heavenly places. Powers not merely of the flesh and blood, but the cosmic powers, the world gods, little g, gods. And evil spirits with craft and schemes far above and beyond any strength, capacity, and power of humanity to stand against. And it's for this reason that Paul commands, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, God himself commands believers at Ephesus to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, that is to become themselves able to function and do all that he has called them to do in the strength, in the capacity, in the power of his might. And Paul's choice of the verbs here makes it unmistakably clear that becoming strong in the Lord is something that believers in Ephesus are to do for themselves. And they are to do it immediately. There is no time to waste because of what God has done in Christ for you. There is no time to waste. You have a target on your back. In fact, you are a glowing target in the midst of utter darkness. And as members of the same body, the same holy Catholic Church that Christ, through his Spirit and Word, created and promised to continue here on earth until Christ's return, this becoming strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might is something you and I and every believer is commanded to do for ourselves. And to do it immediately. Urgently. Upon our having become members of Christ. And brought into the body of Christ. That should scare you. To scare you. Contrary to our old way of thinking, this is not a command by God so that he might do something for us, but a command on account of what he has already done for us. Not a command we are given so that we might be saved, but a command that we are given because we are saved. And we are marked with the blood of Christ. And for this reason, it is urgent that we make ourselves strong in the Lord, in the capacity and the power of his might, that we would become able to function and do what he has called us to do. The same understanding conveyed in Augustine's famous prayer to the Lord, command what you will, and give what you command. God, through the Apostle Paul, is here commanding nothing more than what He has already given us in Christ. What He has already given every single believer in Christ, immediately, the moment He opened your heart and you believed. You see, God has made possible through Christ Jesus our Lord what was impossible for us. He has made possible. And He did it the moment we believed. We have no excuse for disobedience. As the author of Hebrews warns us, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? And yet how are we, frail, faltering, limited, unsteady, hesitant, sinful creatures with all of our imperfections, how are we supposed to immediately make ourselves strong in the Lord and in the capacity and power of His might? Who by His might raised Christ from the dead. How are we to immediately make ourselves strong in the Lord? In His might. The might which raised Christ from the dead, seated Him in the heavenly places at His right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. Such that He put all things under His feet. Paul clearly is not commanding us to immediately obtain for ourselves such strength and capacity and power, but rather to immediately obtain for ourselves such strength and capacity and power in the Lord. And in the capacity and power of His might. The same power that raised us and seated us with Him in the heavenly places. And not even that. Above all the heavenly places where He is. In Christ, all things are put under our feet. That's where Christ has raised us. That's what God has given us through Christ. Far above all heavens, far above every rule, authority, power, dominion, and above every name that is named on earth below and the heavens above, not only in this age, but in the age to come. This is the strength and the capacity and the power of Christ. Christ's might. With which God has given us freely. Merely of grace, and only for the sake of Christ's merit. The strength, capacity, and power is ours by grace through faith, not of our own doing, but it is a gift of God. Not so that we can be saved, but because we are saved. This is yours in Christ. And we are expected to use it. Not just for life in heaven, but for life here and now. And it is of the utmost urgency that we obtain it immediately. Whereas Paul states in verse 11 to put on, and again in verse 13 to take up and carry with us the whole armor of God. We are to clothe ourselves and pick up and carry with us what Paul refers to as the full weaponry of God. The complete armor, which God Himself has personally fashioned and supplied specifically for you and I and every single believer in Christ. The very weaponry which Paul spells out in great metaphorical detail in verses 14 through 17 below our passage, most likely because he spent a lot of time around soldiers, literally chained to them. He knew a lot about soldiers, how they dressed, probably everything, why they dressed and what they did. I'm sure he asked lots of questions. But he spells it out there, all of this weaponry, metaphorically, truth, righteousness, readiness given by the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, the word of God. Weaponry which, if the Lord wills, we will consider further next week. For now, we still need to consider why. Why God has fashioned, supplied, and commanded such things of us, for us to do, and every believer, why He does so with such immediate urgency, demanding consistency. Likening these things to weaponry, which at the time was considered by Rome, the greatest army on earth at the time, to be an absolute necessity if you were to be prepared for warfare. A purpose or a reason which Paul records no less than three times in the four verses of our passage. That's important, literally. Once in the latter part of verse 11, which is grounded by verse 12, is the reason for why verse 11 exists, the reason there. And then twice more in verse 13, wherein Paul writes, so that you individually and together may be able immediately and continually to stand or resist the schemes of the devil. So that you may be continually able to continually withstand or be resistant to the devil's power in the evil day. And having continually done all that is achieved and accomplished for yourself, all these things, to continually stand firm and hold your ground. Not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the cosmic forces, the world gods, little g gods, of this present darkness, and against the evil spirits of wickedness in the heavenly places, against the schemes of the devil, diabolos, the chief slanderer, backbiter, malicious accuser and gossip who prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The chief sinner, the murderer, who has been a sinner and a murderer from the very beginning. The one in whom there is no truth whatsoever. The liar, the father of lies. The Satan himself, the deceiver of the world, the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world who blinds the eyes of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel. The very spirit that is even now at work in the sons and daughters of disobedience, who are enslaved to him, blinded from the light of the gospel, enslaved to Satan, to the rulers and the authorities and the cosmic forces and the evil spirits of wickedness in the heavenly places. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our bodies and our minds, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest. But God, but for God, being rich in His mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For one time you were darkness, but not anymore. Now you are light in the Lord, and must now walk as children of the light, trying to discern what is pleasing to the Lord, which at times can be difficult, extremely difficult to discern. All the more reason why these things be that are commanded should immediately be done. Not questioned, but obeyed immediately and consistently. Because of what God has done through Christ for us, these things must be done. We have become high-value targets, little lights in pitch black darkness. High value targets of the devil and those throughout the heavenly places who are under his control. And for this reason, we must immediately strengthen ourselves in the Lord in the capacity and the power of his might to continuously be putting on and taking up and carrying with us the whole armor of God, with which He has given us in Christ Jesus. There's no other strength, nor capacity, nor power which we may obtain that will allow us to stand firm and hold our ground against such powerful opponents. We must put off our old self. If you understand, that's what Paul's getting at here. Put off our old self that we so easily are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, every human craftiness and scheme of the devil. We must put off this old self and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And any attempt to stand firm and hold our ground by any other strength or capacity or power is doomed. Doomed. Right from the start. It's no contest. For we have no such strength or capacity or power to resist the devil. For the rulers and authorities, the world gods, it's not in our power. Resist. Not even in the true righteousness and holiness in which our covenant head Adam was created was he able to resist. What hope do you and I have apart from Christ? As Isaiah told Ahaz long ago, if you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. At all. Above all, the devil seeks to disarm and devour Christ. And when it is revealed that we belong to Christ, and Christ proclaims it, announces it, from the lowest of earth to the highest of heavens. When he does that, when we've been transferred by God out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light, Satan seeks to disarm and to devour us. Not to scare the hell out of us, but to scare the hell into us. You see? To scare the darkness into us. To blind our eyes with darkness and to keep us from seeing the light of the gospel of Christ. And from walking as children of light. We are commanded to stand firm and to hold our ground. The same thing Paul told the Philippians. Stand firm and let your reasonableness be known to everyone. It doesn't mean give up your doctrine so you're not offensive. It means stand firm with composure. And calmness. Stand firm and hold your ground that God has given you in Christ and promised you in the gospel, not merely by knowing it, but by living it, by applying it to your lives, by making yourselves strong in the Lord and in the capacity and the power of His might. Putting it on. Taking it up and carrying it with you everywhere you go. We need every weapon that God has supplied us to do that. We need it urgently. And we need it consistently. Otherwise, God would not have given His only Son to supply it. He would not have sent Him, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He would not have given Him up for anything less. And the Lord would not have led the Spirit to lead Paul to command such things with urgency and consistency, if it was not true. We're not to be ignorant of Satan's designs, his use of those under his control to deceive us with human cunning and craftiness and schemes, to lure us into wrestling with flesh and blood and turning our attention away from the evil one who is truly attacking us. That we should fail to recognize the spiritual warfare all about us and fail to put on and to take up and to carry with us the whole armor of God, that we might stand firm and hold our ground, hold firm to a victory that is not ours. But a victory that has already been given to us. You see, we don't need to win. We need to stand firm. We need to hold fast to what we have with composure and calmness, strong in the Lord, in His capacity, and in His power, the power of His might. As one commentator has rightly noted, As pilgrims in this life, we walk. As witnesses, we go. As contenders, we run. But as fighters, we stand. Not in our own strength or capacity or power, but in the Lord's. In the Lord's. In that which God has provided us already in Christ, by which we are fully equipped to withstand even the onslaught of the devil himself. This is what Paul means when he writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord, who blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies." Every piece of armor, every weapon we need to stand and to hold our ground against every ruler, every authority, every cosmic force of darkness, every spirit of wickedness in the heavenly places. Blessings which we must immediately put on and take up and continually carry with us, always. Everywhere we go, until Christ returns or calls us home. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we are humbled again by your word. We have taken for granted what you have given us. I dare say we have even misunderstood what blessing even means, thinking it instead of some worldly type comfort with which you lavish us, instead of providing us with the tools, with the armor, with the weaponry of which we must have for life. And so, Father, we ask you your forgiveness. Lord, we ask you to renew our minds and hearts and help us to put on what you have given us in Christ. Help us to take it up and to carry it with us everywhere we go. This gospel, peace, to know for certain that our victory is won. It is achieved, it is accomplished. But Lord, not to be deceived that the battle is over. And so, Lord, we hear your command, and we pray for you to give what you command. And we trust by the word of our Lord Jesus Christ that we have it. And we pray, help us stand. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.